Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud, Ketzer Asun Maimer. As we learned in the Mishnah and in the previous shiur, our Mishnah began by teaching us the Machloikus of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim. Rav Gamliel holds Ein Maimer Acha Maimer, the Ein Get Acha Get, one Maimer following another Maimer, and one Get following another Get, are not effective, and the Rabbanan hold Yesh Maimer, Acha Maimer, Yesh Get, Acha Get. The Mishnah also went on to discuss the halachas that, as the Torah tells us, a Yavam and Yavama either should have Bia, which is being Mekayim, which is fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibam, or should have Chalitza, which is the way their Zika, which way their band between the Yavam and the Yavama is severed. The Mishnah then discusses cases where we have a Maimer, which is then followed by a Get, or a Chalitza, or a Bia. A Get, which is followed by Maimer, Chalitza, or Bia. But the first subject that was discussed in our Mishnah, Maimer Acha Maimer, or Get Acha Get, examples of such situations are not at all cited in our Mishnah. And that's where our Gemara begins. Ketzer Asa Maimer, Hai Get Acha Get Hu. The Mishnah began discussing Get Acha Get, yet when the Mishnah begins citing examples, it doesn't at all discuss such a situation of Get Acha Get, or Maimer after Maimer. Rav Yehuda explains Rav Yehuda Hachi Kama. This is the way to understand our Mishnah. Get Acha Get, or Maimer Acha Maimer, situations of Get Acha Get, or Maimer Acha Maimer, are not described at all in our Mishnah. Rather, Kedah Moron, there as they are explained in the Braisa that we learned in the previous year on Daf Nun Aleph. That Braisa mentioned examples of Maimer Acha Maimer, Get Acha Get. Yovim Achas, Vivam Achas, but what our Mishnah does begin to describe is in a situation where there is one Yavam and one Yavama. Ketzer HaTarason. How? What are the different scenarios? How that relationship is either consummated or severed? How do they become mutter from each other? Says the Mishnah. Also, Maimer B'Yavam Tavanasal Get. If he gave Maimer and then a Get, so Chalitza is required. And as the Mishnah goes on to cite many other examples. Continue the Mishnah teaching us, Asu Maimer Ubal, if Maimer and Bi'iya were done one after the other, so the Mishnah said, Harezukum Mitzvasa. That's exactly, so to speak, what the Torah, what Chazal want to be done. Says the Gemara, Leim Mesai Leila Rav Huna. It seems our Mishnah corroborates the position of Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Mitzvah Sivama, what is the proper way of doing the Mitzvah Sivam? Mekadish, to do a Kedushin, Vach Kach Boyel, and then to do Bia. And that's what our Mishnah means, says the Gemara, when it says, Hareza Kemitzvasa, Maimer followed by Bia. Says the Gemara, even though Rav Huna's position may be correct, and even though in fact that is the halacha, the lechat chila, there should first be a maimer and then a bia, but there is no necessarily proof from our Mishnah that our Mishnah holds that way. Perhaps what our Mishnah is saying is, ema afsa kemitzvasa, that if there was a maimer and then a bia, that is also considered that the mitzvah was indeed fulfilled. But that does not mean that that's what the Mishnah wants to be done. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that there was a Maimer and then a Bia, that it's acceptable, ask the Gemara Pshita, why shouldn't that be acceptable? Why does the Mishnah need to tell us that that is an acceptable situation? If the Mishnah is telling us that it's a mitzvah, that that's the proper way of doing it, so I could understand why the Mishnah needs to tell me that. But to tell me that that's acceptable, pshit, of course it's acceptable. Why should it not be acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Salkatat Chamina, One could suggest, kivin d'amamar, since as we learned, ha'oisa maimer b'yavimta, once maimer is performed, parchi himena zikas yavamim, there is no longer any more yibum here, that attachment of yavam and yavama is now gone, v'chalal of zikas erisim v'nasuin, and this relationship between the yavam and yavama is now the same as the relationship of any ish v'isha, husband and wife, that have an erisin, and then ultimately it will lead to nesuin. But the special opportunity, the special mitzvah of yibum, no longer will exist here. So eim alav mitzvah kavod. So one could perhaps suggest that one should not do maimer and then yibum, because by doing maimer, you're avoiding losing the opportunity of doing the mitzvah yibum, kamash malon. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that if maimer is followed by yibum, it's still considered that the mitzvah is being done properly. Ask the Aruch Haner, this position, this opinion, that maimer creates an erisin nesuin relationship, is the position of Beis Shammai, who, as we have been learning so many times, holds that maimer is a deraisa concept. But Reis Hillel disagree. So how are we explaining that our Mishnah holds like Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel? Answers Aruch Haner, that perhaps even Beis Hillel will agree that midrabbanon, once maimer is done, it no longer allows for the mitzvah yibum to be performed in the aftermath manner. That's what the Mishnah Tetzil shows, that no, maimer followed by yibum is considered a l'chatchila situation. Gufa, continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, mitzvah yivamim, the proper way of doing mitzvah yibum is mekadesh vach kach boil. To first do a maimer of kedushin and then do bia. V'mbov as a maimer, if one did bia followed by maimer, kana, it is also effective. And the Meshech Chachma says that this order that the Torah tells us, that by a regular husband-wife relationship, we have first erisin and then the suin, maimer and then bia, and by a yavama, that order is not required midaraisa, is very evident in the psukim of the Torah that discuss these relationships. The relationship of a regular husband and wife relationship, the Torah says, ki yikach ish isha uvalel. So the Torah says, first there should be yikach ish isha, there should be a kedushin uvalel, and then a bia. But the pasuk by yibum, the Torah uses the words, yavama yavalel. Torah just says first speaks about bia, and only afterwards does the Torah say v'lochol isha. Why does the Torah not follow, says the Meshech Chachma, the same order in describing the relationship of a yavam and yavama to ish v'isha, to teach us this halacha, that by ish v'isha we have to have kiyikach kedushin followed by bia. By Yavama, the Torah first mentions Bia, because that is what is essential, and that is the only thing that must happen. Yes, the Torah says, V'loch lo l'isha, l'chatchila de shabi, a mimer also, but that is not what is essential, and that's why the Torah doesn't mention the Kedushin prior to the Bia. Ask the Gemara, the Rav Huna just told us, in Baal, v'as a mimer, if the Bia was followed by a mimer, that it's acceptable? Of course it's acceptable. Pshita, v'kanya v'bia. And we just described, a Yavama's relationship is consummated through bia. So why do we need any, why would the need to say it? Ela'ema, and Baal b'loy maimer, what Rav Huna really means to say is, that if only bia took place, without any maimer, kana, it's also acceptable. Ask the Gemara, how could we suggest that it's acceptable? V'tanya laika, we learned in a brice that one gets malchus for doing bia to his yavama without a prior maimer. Ask the Rishonim. We're up to daf nun beis in Masechta Yavamis. We obviously know that there's that a Yevama is acquired through Bia. How could the Gemara even have a Havmina, the Loika, that the Gemara and the Havmina believe that one gets Malkus Medaraisa for not doing Maima previously? Don't we know that Medaraisa only Bia is required? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach is the approach of the Ritva, who suggests, the Rashba, who they want to suggest what the Torah means to say, that even though we've been learning that the Torah requires Bia, the Gemara here in the Havmina thought that the Gemara held that besides, that the Braisa held that besides that the Bia, which is certainly required, a prior Maimer is also required. Another Pshat, which is Taisus Pshat, what the Gemara is suggesting is that once Chazal required Maimer before the Bia, if one will just do Bia, so he hasn't done what Chazal required. He hasn't followed the requirements of Chazal in a Yavam acquiring a Yavama. And if he doesn't follow Chazal's requirements, this woman remains an Erva, the Erva of Eishes Ach. And there's Malkus Medaraisa if one has relations with his Eishes Ach. And that's what the Gemara's Havmina is, that once Chazal required Maimer without the Maimer, as the Gemara we should say that there's Malkus, she's considered an Eishes Ach. So how could Rav Huna's statement be said that he's saying that Bia without Maimer is totally effective? Answers the Gemara, Malkus Madus Medrabonin. Rav Huna never meant to say that if there's only Bia, it will not be effective. Medaraisa or Medrabonin. It certainly will be effective. She's no longer an Eishes Ach. What Rav Huna meant to say is, however, we give a Malkus Madus, special Malkus Medrabonin, for violating what Chazal said that there should be Maimer before the Bia. And the Rishonim already discuss what are the differences, or are there differences between Malkus Madus and regular Malkus. Some Rishonim actually point out that the Gemara in many places says that the equipment of a dayan are a mako v'ritzua, a stick and a belt. And what it means to say is that the ritzua, the belt, the leather belt, was used for Malkus, and the mako, the stick, was used for Malkus Maridus. And there's a discussion how many Malkus are given when one is subject to Malkus Maridus. Some Rishonim, the Rashba says, that just like regular Malkus is 39 Malkus, so too are Malkus Maridus. There are other Rishonim, the Shulta Gebarim quotes Rishonim, that say Malkus Maridus are 13 versus 39. Rashi seems to learn that he doesn't seem to give us an exact number. We give him Malkus less, it seems, that the 39 Malkus Medaraisa, but it doesn't give an exact number. The Ritva and the Ran seem to say that Malkus Maridus is more than Malkus Medaraisa even, but they make a very interesting distinction. They say that there are two situations where Malkus is given, Malkus Maridus is given. One situation is as a punishment for one having violated the Rabbanon, like our Gemara, where one did Bia without Maimer preceding it. And another situation is when Malkus Maridus are given in order to prevent someone from doing an Aveira. Say the Ran and the Ritva. When Malkus Maridus are given as a punishment, then we follow the same order as in the Torah, 39 Malkus. However, when Malkus Maridus are given to prevent someone from doing an Aveira, then we continue giving the Malkus until we're sure that the Aveira will not be violated. And in fact, I saw some Mefarshim want to use this distinction regarding another Shaila. Is there normally, before an Einish, before a punishment Medaraisa is given, the punishment is only given if the person who did the Aveira had Hasra. Is the same Halacha by Malkus Maridus? Perhaps the same distinction can be made. If it's as a punishment, so a punishment is not given without Hasra. But But if it's to prevent someone from doing an aveira, there even if there is no hasra, or this is the hasra, actually, the punishment is given to prevent someone from doing an aveira. And the Gemara now brings a statement from Rav proving that makis mardis are given for someone who just did bia without a prior maimer. The Rav Mangid, Rav would used to give makis mardis mandam kaddish bia for someone who made kedushin just with bia, not with kesef ashtar. Even though we know the Mishnah says in Masech the Kedushin, the first Mishnah, that bia is one of the ways kedushin is accomplished, Rav gave Makis Mardis for someone who did that. As the Gemara says, Sum Mishum Pritzusa. So Machloikis, what does Mishum Pritzusa mean? Some say Pritzusa means that it's not Tznius, that's the way a person will begin his relationship with his wife, with Bia. Another Pshat is that we know that every Dovish of Erva, Kedushin requires Edim. And if the Kedushin will be affected through Bia, then there will have to be Edim for the Bia, which is also a lack of Tznius. Furthermore, he gave Malkus Amanda Makadish Beshukah for someone who would make a Kedushin in an open place. But the Farshim explain again, because it shows a zilzil, it shows a lack of respect to the institute of marriage. However, the Farshim say the Beshukah doesn't mean, it means specifically a marketplace. Certainly a Kedushin may take place outdoors. In fact, we know the minig is generally that a chuppah is done outdoors. It just means b'shuk in a marketplace. That's not the proper respect. A man mekadosh b'lo shaduchi, somebody who is mekadosh a woman without entering into agreement with her, without prior agreement. A man mevatel geta, someone who nullifies a get. So Rashi explains that someone sent a shliach to give a get to his wife, and then he decided to nullify that get, and he nullified the get in front of the shliach. There's a concern that the shliach will still give that get to this person's former wife. She, assuming that get is a good get, will get married, and she's really not divorced, and the children will be mamzerim. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says we don't have to be concerned that if the shliach is specifically told that the get is nullified, he will still give the get. What the concern Tosfos says is that that the husband will nullify the get not in front of the shliach. So there is one mandam that says that bittel is an effective bittel, and the shliach will not know about it and give the get, and the woman will get remarried with possible serious repercussions. Or explains Tosfos, even according to the Manda Omer, that such a bittel is not effective, there may be someone who saw the bittel, believing that it's effective, then sees that this person's wife gets remarried and will say, how is she allowed to get remarried? The children of this new marriage are mamzerim. Omanda Moser Maidah Agita, someone who serves notice that a get was given against his will, and therefore the get is unacceptable. So as Tosfos explains, even though the case here is where a Bezdin told the husband he must give a get, and then the husband served notice that this get is being given under duress, so even though when the get is actually being given, he nullifies any notices he might have given. But again, we have a concern that someone knows about the notice and sees the get being given and the wife getting remarried without knowing that the notice is really meaningless. A man, the poker shlichad rabbanon, someone who acts without respect to a shliach, a bezdin, who summons him to come to a bezdin. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that it's not only in a situation where the shliach was summoning someone to come to court, but in any situation, says Tosfos, where someone is acting as a messenger of a bezdin of rabbonim, and the people he's being sent to don't treat him with respect, they deserve makis mardis. In fact, they sort of place can say that the shliach bezdin is given tremendous namonis, that when he comes and he says that the person who he went to treated him disrespectfully, Chazal give that person, give the shlich bezdin amonis, that based on that the people will get makas mardis. Or man the shoy shamted rabban ala plus in yomim, or someone who stays in chayim for 30 days, for the osel beidin of a tovel shamte, and he doesn't come to bezdin to request that the chayim be removed, for chasten the door bechamui, and also for a son-in-law that lives in the home of his father-in-law. Ask the Gemara, and we'll discuss in a moment what the issue here is. Ask the Gemara, the door in, only if someone lives in his father's house does he get Makas Mardis. The Cholof law, but if he just passes by, he does not get Makas Mardis. Ask the Gemara of Ahu the Cholof, Ababa the Bechamui, there was a Chosin, and the son-in-law that passed by his father-in-law's home for Nagdi Rav Sheshis, and Rav Sheshis gave him Makas Mardis. Says the Gemara, Ahu made him die Michamosei. There was a situation that the Chosin was suspected of acting improperly with his mother-in-law. That's why it was specifically careful that he shouldn't even walk by his in-law's home. Nadoi Amri, Bekulalai Mangarav. In all situations, Rav did not give Malkus. El Makadish Bebiya Belay Shaduchi. Only for somebody whose Makadish would be without a prior arrangement. Vikir Amri, and others say, I feel b'shaduchin nami. Even if there was a prior arrangement, still having kedushin with bia is inappropriate, deserving of makas mardis. B'shem pritzusa, it's a lack of tznius, as we explained earlier. So now we understand our braisa, that even though a yavam can acquire his yavama with bia, but without a prior maimer, it's pritzusa and gets makas mardis. Rav discussed one of the people that's deserving of Makas Mardis is a person who lives in the home of his mother-in-law. And the Rishonim discuss why is it Asur. So some say, because the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra that there's a special affinity and therefore there's a suspicion of Znus between a mother-in-law and a first son-in-law. Others say it's not just the first son-in-law, that's why we're concerned and don't let them live in the same home. Others say that the concern is because it shows a lack of modesty. And others explain that our Gemara is not referring to a chasen and kala who already had nesuin, but rather it's referring to a chasen and kala that only had erisin. As far as the halachi is concerned, we know that the minig is that son-in-laws where their wives do live in the home of their in-laws. And why? So Taisus here says, because we follow the position of Nadoi. As Mefarshim explained, Taisus, it's a Darabonon, Suffolk Darabonon Lahokal, and therefore we can follow Nadoi's position that it's permissible. Another pshat, Taisus says, Masech the Gedushin, is if the Chosin and Kala are living there without having to pay rent, so it's obvious what the motive of this chasen and kala is for living there, and therefore there's no concern of maris ayin. The Ravid says that if the chasen and kala have a private room, then it's not considered a concern. There's an interesting Meiri. Meiri is already a Rishon. He says that since in the times of the Meiri already, chasen and kala and chasen and his mother-in-law, the Nois Yisrael k'sheris ninu, there's much less of a concern that people will act improperly, and therefore there's no reason for this concern. And the Taisus Riyaz Zaken holds, as we said before, that the entire concern that Rav mentioned was only when the Chosin and Kala were only in the state of Erisin. When we have Chosin and Kala in the same house, it's after the Nesuin, and that's why it's permitted. Tan Rabban says the Braisa, Ketz and Maimer, how is Maimer accomplished? And as Mefarshim say, what is the concept of Maimer? Why is Kedusha Yevama called Maimer? So Mefarshim say it's called Maimer because Chazal were the ones, it's a Maimer Chazal. Chazal were the ones that told us to do this. Kate said Maimer, nothing like Kesef or Shava Kesef. If the Yovan gives the Yevama Kesef or Shava Kesef. And as the Rishonim point out, this Braisa follows the position of Beis Shammai, who at the beginning of Masechta Kedushin say that Kedushin is affected with Kesef, that it has to be money, more than just a pruta, because according to Beis Hillel, a pruta is adequate to affect the kedushin. And then the Braisa asks, b'shtar ketzad, how is maimer done with a shtar? Ask the Gemara, b'shtar ketzad, why is the Braisa asking how kedushin is done with a shtar? K'ramoran, just like the Mishnah and Masech the Kedushin, and our Braisa explains how kedusha kesef are affected the same way should be kedusha maimer. As we know, kedusha shtar are kosovna al nayar al cheres. If in a piece of paper or a piece of scrap of earthenware, abish ein bashar pruta, even though it's not shav pruta, it's written harei at mekudeshesli. So that's a kedusha maimer of a shtar. What is the Braisa's question? Rabbi, what the Braisa means to ask is hachikama shtak suva yivama ketzad. What is the nusach of a suva of a yivama? Says the Braisa, kosovlo anor pliny by pliny I kabilas yas plinyus yivinti alai have accepted upon myself this yivama to lazon or fans karoi to sustain her and support her properly or vachtek subasa al nechse bala rishin. But even though normally the ksuba is written between the chassan and the kala, here the obligation of the ksuba is from the estate of the first husband. As we learned, because usually a chassan is the one that picks out the kala. Here, however, was isha hitnu lo min ha-shamayim. It was min ha-shamayim that she became his wife, and therefore he does not have the obligation to write the ksuba to her directly. However, continues the Gemara, for less lamarishin, if there isn't enough left from the estate of the first husband, tekinah l'arbon m'sheni, then Chazal said that the second husband should write her a ksuba, k'dei sh'loite kalba enav l'atziyah. The purpose of a ksuba is that if a husband gets angry at his wife, he may just divorce her impetuously, but if he knows that he'll have to pay ksuba, that calms him down, and that prevents an impetuous divorce. And that we wanted to do here too, and therefore if there is no money left from the estate of the first husband, we take it from the estate of the second husband. Mefarshim ask, the Rechoner points out, what's the Gemara teaching us? Of course, she's not entitled to two ksubas. So Rechoner says, what the Gemara is teaching us here is that one would think that this woman is no different than any other woman who, let's say, her first husband died or divorced her, and now she gets remarried, she's entitled to two ksubas. Maybe this woman is also entitled to two ksubas. That's what our Gemara is teaching us, that this woman is only entitled to one. Ask the Mefarshim, what we said was, the Rishonim asked this question, that Isha hikdun lo min ha-shamayim, that since this was a woman that he didn't choose himself, rather was Isha hikdun lo min ha-shamayim, therefore the halacha is that he doesn't have to give a ksuba from his own estate. If there's enough assets left in the estate of the first husband, the ksuba is taken from that estate. As the Rishonim, we also learned the halacha is that the Yavam, who performs the mitzvah of Yibam, inherits the entire estate of the first husband anyway. So what's the difference if he's paying this ksuba from his first estate or from the money that he inherited or the money that he owns? It's all his money anyway. So Mefarshim explained that the halacha is that when one is married, there's actually a lien on all of his assets. The lien is the ksuba that he's obligated to give to his wife. What we're learning here is that if there is enough assets, enough of estate from the first husband, those assets will have a lien on them for the ksuba, and not the assets that the second husband, that the Yavam, had all along. Also, the nafka mina, as we said when we learned the sugya earlier, is that if the first estate is paying out the ksuba, if the first marriage was, she was still a psula when they get married, then the ksuba would be masayim zuz, 200 zuz. But if it's being paid out of the second estate, so when she got married to the yavam, she obviously was no longer a psula, and therefore the ksuba would only be 100 zuz. Barmanai bai merava, nasun lo get. As we learned in our Mishnah at the beginning of this parak, if a yavam gives a yavama a get, she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. She must receive chalitza. Nosul a get for Amar. If the Yavam gave a get to the Yavam, he said, a very interesting language. Harei at mekader gresheth himeni. I'm divorcing you. However, vi at muteres l'chol adam. You will not be allowed to marry any other man. So it's a get that really doesn't completely sever their relationship. Do we say, get Yavam d'Rabbanahu? This entire concept that there is a get to Yavama and that it has a halachic impact is only a Rabbanahu concept. Because as we learned, Midaraisa, there is no get between a Yavam and a Yavama prior to Bia. So do we say, get the Mahani Be'eshus Ish, a get which is affected by an Eshus Ish? That's where Chazal said, Mahani Be'Yavama, works by Yavama. However, get the Loi Mahani Be'eshus Ish, this type of get, which isn't even effective by a regular wife, Loi Mahani Be'Yavama, will be meaningless by Yavama. Adama Asr L'Chlufa Be'Gita, since this is a form of a get, albeit a very weak form, a get is a get, and all the halachas of get by Yavama will apply. Amalei responds, Chashin Adama Asr L'Chlufa Be'Gita, we have to be concerned that this get will be get confused with a different type of get, and it's considered a get. Maskula Rav Barav Chanan, Elamata, if that's your concern, Yavla Nair Ba'alma. If the Yavam gives the Yavam a plain piece of paper, we should also say, Hachadnam de Pasla, why are we not concerned they'll be confused with a regular get? Ask the Aruch Haner, isn't the difference between an empty piece of paper and a get, albeit with this weak terminology, very obvious? Says the Aruch Haner, that of course if a Yavam just gave a Yavama an empty piece of paper, the Gemara doesn't have a Havamina, that would be considered as if he gave her a get. The Gemara means to say, let's say a Yavam will give a Yavama an empty piece of paper, and as he gives her that piece of paper, he says, Hareyat Mgureshesli. If we're concerned about confusion, that too should be a case where they should not be allowed to have Bia anymore. Amalei, so he responds, Hasam. If somebody gives a Yavam an empty piece of paper, like Pas Bakuna, there is no halachic ramification. However, Hocha, this get, where the husband says, Hareyat Megureshet Himeni, V'yat Meteres L'Chol Adam, has some halachic consequence. Because Kapas Bakuna, she will never be allowed to marry a Kohen, she's considered Megureshet, and if he's a Kohen, if the husband giving the wife a get is a kohen, he will not be allowed to continue living with her, for as we know, a kohen may not live with a grusha. The Tanya, and we've learned this in a brisa. The pasuk says, "V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu." Teaches us the brisa that the pasuk is saying, "Afil lo nizgar shalom me'isha." If all that the get accomplished is that she may not live with her husband anymore because he's a kohen lo yikachu, they can't remain remarried. And this is a descent of a get. It doesn't really have all the concept of a get. It only makes her a grusha that she can't live with a kohen. And as the Mefarshim explained, because the pasuk should have just said visha grusha, the extra word miisha, that all she is divorced just from her spouse, is what teaches us that they know that this get has some validity, and therefore it has validity by yavam and yavama, which is not the case by empty piece of paper. Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Mechama, Hare Amru, Chazal taught us, Amr Echad Lelavavar, somebody says to a Sofer, Ksoiv get Lerusasi, a get should be written to my Rusa, L'chesh Nechsena, that after we have Nesun Agershena, we will divorce. Hare is a get, it's considered a valid get, Neshi Yadu L'garsha, he has the ability to divorce her. The relationship between an Arus and an Arusa is severed with a get, and therefore it's considered acceptable. And as Rashi and Tosfos discuss, why is this not considered a get Yoshan, given that the get was given even before the Kedushin? So Rashi says that the halach is that b'di'evid, a get Yoshan is acceptable, and Tosfos says that even though this statement was made to the Sofer before the Nesuin, but the date of the get is the date after Nesuin, and that's why Tosfos says the get is not considered a get Yoshin. However, If a cipher says that a get should be written for a woman to whom he is not even married, and the get should say that after we get married we'll get divorced, and get, that's not acceptable get. He can't divorce her now because they're not even married. And as the Rishonim point out, one pshat is ein biyada, simply a get cannot be written to a woman that isn't married to you at all, because there is no concept of get. Other Rishonim learn, because the halach is that a get has to be written l'shma, and l'shma is certainly not applicable to someone who's not one's wife yet. Although Tosfos points out that this halach is only going according to the man the Omer that holds ein oda makna davar shlabel oilam, that a person cannot make a kinyan on something which is not yet in the world. However, according to the man the Omer that oda makna davar shlabel oilam, here too, even though this woman is not yet his wife, the get would be effective. Ask the Gemara, boy Rav Bachama, leivim tamema, if somebody writes such a get to his yivama before they even had, he took her as a yivama, what is it, an effective get or not? Kiven dagidabei, do we say since they already have a relationship, there's a zika, kerusasa damya, it's considered like his arusa, oidilma, kiven dagidabei, since all there is a zika, with not even a maimer, loy the get is not effective, teku, the Gemara doesn't answer. And there's a machlokes rishonim in explaining to which situation is Rabbi Bachama referring when he asked this question. Rashi seems to learn that what Rabbi Bachama is asking is this get going to be effective after Yibum is done? Will it be considered a get to be effective after the Yibum is accomplished? Other Rishonim seem to learn that the Gemara's question is, as we have been learning, a get before the Yibum, if there's a get at the beginning of the relationship, that precludes the possibility of Bia, of Yibum. And the Gemara's question is this going to be considered such a get which will say that Yibum cannot take place here? Tosfos says, what Rabbi Bachama's question is this considered enough of a get that this isha, is it considered like a Reyach get that we discussed to Raman Aleph, and that this woman will be disqualified from ever being able to marry a Kohen? By Rav Chananya, cost of get l'zikasai, if somebody gave a get for his zika, for Lai Mamoroi, he wrote that this get should only sever the zika and not the maimer. Or vice versa, that the get should only sever Mamoroi for Lai zikasai. Mahu, what is the halacha? What is the status of such a get? Do we say Maima il Zika Karami? The Maima is built upon the Zika. And if a person only wrote a get for the Zika or the Maima, it's similar to Kamagarish Chatzi Isha if he divorced half of his wife. And the Allah is Hamagarish Chatzi Isha Loyosav Loyklum. It's meaningless. Adilma, Hail Chudekoi, Vahail Chudekoi. Each one is separate and therefore could be effective separately. Ask the Gemara, Matif Shlema Rava. Why can't we have the answer to this question from what Rava said? Dama Rava, Nosan Get L'Mamara, Hutra Tzarasa. If a get was given to his wife, to a woman that he did Maima to, Hatsara becomes Mutter. We learned on that Lamed Beis. Rava discusses a case where there were three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, married to three unrelated women. Reuven died childless, and Shimon did Maimer with Reuven's widow. The Mishnah teaches us that if Shimon then dies without children, the Maimer wife and the original wife of Shimon require chalitza from Levi, but may not be taken in Yivam, because the Maimer wife now is carrying the Zika of two brothers, Reuven, her original husband, and Shimon, who's her Maimer husband. And a woman that carries two Zika is exempt from Yibam. And not only does she exempt from Yibam, she exempts Hatzara, Shimon's original wife. But says Rava there, that if Shimon had given a get to Reuven's widow, his Maimer wife, Hotzurasa, then his original wife may be taken to Yibum to Levi. Although, as Rashi points out, Reuven's original wife, who was a Maimer wife to Shimon, and then received a divorce, would not be a candidate to Levi for Yibum, because as we've been learning, a woman that receives a get is no longer a candidate for Yibum. So we see that there is a concept of a get just for Maimer and not for Chalitza. Says the Gemara, L'Rava Pshitalei. To Rav it's obvious that a get just for Maimer without Chalitza is valid. However, Rav Chananya Miboilei, Rav Chananya had a question, what is the status of such a get? And Teku, the Gemara doesn't have the answer to that question. So we learned in the Mishnah, Chalitz was a Maimer. If Chalitza was given and then Maimer, then the halacha is there is no validity, ein acha chalitza klum, and the Maimer is meaningless. Omar Yehuda Marav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This reflects the position of Rabbi Akiva, the Omar, ein kedushin tois mechayiv lavin. So once chalitza was given to this woman, there's a chiyuv lav for him to live with her or any of the other widows, kivin shleibona shuvla yivna. And Rabbi Akiva holds ein kedusha tois mechayiv lavin. Av chom maimer, the chom hold that the maimer will be effective, because the chom hold that a chayiv lavin kedusha are effective, and that's why they'll hold yesh acha chalitza klum. Ask the Gemara, mi matzus mukvus lak Rabbi Akiva, can we explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? The kani reisha we learned at the beginning of our Mishnah, nosin get vasa maimer, if a get was given and then maimer, the aloch is tzrich get v'chalitza. This woman will require a get and a chalitza. So the question is for the maimer. Yeah, ask the Gemara of Yir Rabbi Akiva if our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So Kiva the Yavla get, once a get was given, me mahani ba maimer, will maimer be effective that we have to question how we should undo it? But Tanya Rekiva Omer, Menayin Loisin get Yevimta Shinesro Avalemus, once a get is given to Yevama, she remains permanently forbidden. Because the Pasuk says, La Yucha Bala Rishin Asha Shilcha, that the first husband that divorced her can never take her back. So why would this Maimer have to be dealt with a get? On Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, this get that was given before the Maimer is only a Maimer, is only a get midrabanan, and therefore the Maimer afterward, which is midrais, is effective. I, the Pasuk, cross machtab alma. Tanya nami hachi, and so we learned in the Braisa. Om Rebbe, en advar mamur malolu. The fact that we learned that there is no Maimer after Chalitza follows the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. Sha'oisa Chalutza ke'erva, and Kedushin is not typhus. Ava chom oimrim, yesh acha Chalitza klum, and it is effective. Vani oimer, and the Braisa continues citing Rebbe's opinion. Emesai, when is Kedushin effective with a Chalutza? Bezman shekitcha l'shem ishus. If the Kedushin was made l'shem ishus, ava kutch l'shem yavmus, if he said that the Kedushin should be for the sake of Yibum, and she's no longer a candidate for Yibum, because she already received Chalitza, then Allah is that Kedushin, that Maimer, will be ineffective, because enach Chalitza klum. Tanya idach, hachodz l'yivimta. If somebody gives chalitza to Yivama, v'chaz v'kutcha, Rabbi Omer, so Rabbi says, im kitch l'shem ishus. If the kedushin was for the sake of ishus, tzricha men a get, that kedushin will be effective and will need to be severed with a get. However, if it was done with shem yavmus, ain't tzricha men a get, because she's no longer a candidate for Yibam. The chum hold, bein shekitch l'shem ishus. Whether this kedushin after the chalitza was done for the shame, for the sake of ishus, bein l'shekitch l'shem yavmus, or was done for the sake of yibum, tzrich men a get is required. Omer of Yosef, says of Yosef, my tamad Rebbe, what's the explanation of Rebbe that there's a difference who was done l'shem kishus or l'shem yavmus? Says the Gemara, also k'oider nichsa ager, k'sovish loyhein the loykani. Rabbi compares this to the following scenario. The halach is that every person born a Jew certainly has relatives somewhere that is considered his relative and is Yairish. But a ger, as we learned, Gershon is Geyer, Kikotin, Shinoladami, does not necessarily have any relatives. So when he dies, the halacha is that whoever acquires his property becomes the owner. And this Gemara discusses a situation where there was someone who had a neighbor who was a ger, and his neighbor died, but he didn't realize that his neighbor died, and he was working on the field, and working even on his neighbor's field. There, the halacha is, since he didn't know that his neighbor died, the kinyan, chazaka, of working on the field is not effective. Here too, since there is no yibum anymore, because chalitza had been done, when the person attempts to do yibum, attempts to do maimer of yibum, it's a meaningless act. Amle Abaya asks Abaya, me dami hosloi kamechav l'mikni. Here the neighbor was working on his neighbor Ger's field. He had no intention to make a kinyan. He does intend to make a kinyan. It may be a wrong kinyan. Holo dami, isn't this more similar? Ela oida benichse gerze. He was working in this. He was intending to acquire this ger's field, and really it was kasava shager achahu the kani, because his intention was to do a kinyan. Ela mabaya. What is the situation of the machloek between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Where he said, I want to make kiddushin of a maimer. Rebbe Soiva, mama alizika karami. As we learned before, the maimer is connected to the zika. Here, also chalitza, since a chalitza was performed after the zika, it dissolved the zika. And therefore, Mimer cannot take place, because Mimer is connected to Zika. If there is no Zika, there is no Mimer. Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan hold, as we learned earlier on the Amid, Chai l'chudei koi, v'chai l'chudei koi. Zika and Mimer stand independent of each other. Mikara, and just like at the beginning, before the Chalitza was done, Ila Omar, if a Yavim said to his Yavama, Hiskachli v'mama Yavamim, if he said such a language, it certainly would be an effective kedusha. Miloy mahamni, it would be effective. Here too, hashtanami, now too, that this, the Chazal told us, mahani, that this is an effective terminology of kedusha even after the chalitza, because this terminology is not connected to the zika. So even though there is no longer any zika, this is a terminology that would affect a kedusha.